have your Bibles tonight, draw your attention to Titus chapter 3. What a great book, book of Titus. Now tonight I'm going to go back and want us to draw our attention, and if I could tonight, with our theme. Everyone here, you're either stationary, stagnant, or you're visionary and victorious. But you're not just doing nothing. In other words, you're either sliding back, you're getting stagnant, or you got a vision, and you're really growing in the Lord. Now, tonight I want you to understand that everybody in this room is becoming something. Everyone here. You're becoming something. You're either becoming stagnant or becoming more victorious day by day. But you're not just resting. And tonight my concern for our church family is that everyone in this room would gain a perspective of, Lord, what can I do this coming Monday, tomorrow? What can I do tonight? A little bit of a goal or a vision that I can have, that I could be a little bit more like you, that I could change to be a little bit more like you. Lord, how can I grow a little bit? How can I become more like you? Now, I want you to notice, if you would, take your Bible and look at two other passages before you get here. But take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 12, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, chapter 4. Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at one word. And then if you'll notice, 2 Corinthians. Romans chapter 12. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Romans chapter 12, very famous verse. Verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We all understand that. All the sacrifices were dead. They were offered dead. He said, I want you to offer yourself living the same way. In other words, no plans of your own, no future but what I give you, no dreams of your own. A lamb had no future. It was going to be sacrificed, and God said, I want you to come the same way. It had no will of its own. It was just presented. Now notice, if you would, he said, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. After what he's done for us, that's reasonable. Then you'll notice, and be you not conformed. And you'll notice, this is, you know, don't become like the world. But he says, but be you transformed. The word transformed, metamorphosis, we get our English word. We know that's from the worm to the butterfly. Okay? It is a cataclysmic change. Now, I want to encourage you tonight to look to make cataclysmic changes this year in your life. Now, take your Bible, keep your finger there, turn it back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice, if you would, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Whenever you and I get close to the Lord, we all look in the same way and see His glory. And notice this, and are changed, same word, metamorphosis, into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit begins to cataclysmically change us to be in the image of Christ. We are becoming something different. We are becoming something like Jesus Christ. So He is our pattern. You have to have the vision from the Word of God of what Jesus is like. He is holy. He's pure. He's loving. He's gentle. He's strong. He can do anything. And so you and I learn to gain our strength from the Lord. We learn to gain our personas from the Lord. We're sweet spirited. We're meek and we're mild, and yet we have a backbone of steel, and we're going to do the right thing no matter what anybody else does. We're children of God in His image. And so when people see us, whether you're at work or you're in the church, they ought to see this person that reminds them of Jesus Christ. You are either becoming that or you're becoming like the world. Now, look at Titus chapter 3. Notice with me, if you would, two little words. Put them in mind. And this word, put them in mind, kind of unique. It is to suggest to them quietly. Sort of recommend to them. In other words, it's not preaching at them. It's to sort of bring them along. Put it in the back of their minds. Watch this. To be. The word be, to be, to become, is used 20 times in Titus. To become something different. To become like Christ. Look with me if you would. Chapter 1, verse 6. If any, be blameless. That's what we're supposed to be. Notice verse 7. A bishop then must be blameless. You'll notice if you would, verse number 13. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them shortly, that they may be sound in the faith. They may become sound in the faith. Notice, if you would, verse 2 of chapter 2. That the aged men become sober-minded, grave, whatever. Notice chapter 2, verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they become. So you can notice 20 times he says, I want you to help the Christians to become something different. So every one of us in this room, are we becoming something different? I mean, it's just all through here. Notice verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to become sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Verse 5, to be discreet. You'll notice verse 6, young men exhort, likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So every group of people, young ladies, young men, married ladies, older married men, older married women, all of them are becoming something different, transformed into the image of Christ. Are you becoming different today than you were last year? Are you growing into the image of Christ? We're not just growing aimlessly. Well, I think this year I'd like to do this or I'd like to do that. Get a clear vision of Jesus Christ and His image. He's holy. He's loving. He's forgiving. And take this image and say, I want to be like that. Changed into His image. Renovate your life into the image of Christ. That's what we are becoming if we're growing in the Lord. And you've got to understand, Titus is a young preacher and he's got this church full of people that are lazy. They're gossips. They've been saved, but they're just not fit for the ministry. And he said, look, they've got to become something different. You've got to help them to grow. But then chapter 3, he says, now look, put in their mind to be. And you'll notice he gives them a few things, but verse 1 of chapter 3, put them in mind to be subject to principalities. Now the word subject is to subjugate themselves, to submit themselves to three different groups of people. One, principalities. Those people that are in government, powers. That could be the police officer, it could be the fireman, it could be the, in their day, it could be the Roman soldier. And to obey magistrates. So it's the people that are over us. And so, folks, today, Christians are supposed to be submitted people to the people that are above us. Submission is a part of we're to become more submissive to those people that are over us. And he said, put it in mind to them. Now, if you could realize, in this day, people didn't like the Roman soldiers. They didn't like the government. Remember the Jews in chapter 5 of Matthew? He said, look, when they compel you to go 1 mile, you go 2. In other words, a Roman soldier could go to anybody, any Jewish man, and say, pick up my luggage and carry it for 1 mile. It was the law. And so he'd pick up that luggage and he'd start counting and he'd count out 1 mile. He'd drop that thing and that was the end of it. He said, no. Become something different. Go a second mile. What? Don't be like everybody else. Be in the image of Christ. In that same passage, he says, pray for those that despitefully use you. Don't pay them back. Folks, where are the Christians that are becoming in the image of Christ in 2020? That's what God wants for all of us in this room. Now, you may say, well, I want to become like Christ. Okay. What's your vision? Without a vision, people perish. What are some of the goals that you've picked out about Jesus that you want to emulate? Do you want to emulate His forgiveness? Do you want to emulate His love for sinners? Do you want to emulate His kindness? Do you want to emulate His holiness? His purity? Look, folks, pick something about the image of Christ and say, I've got to have that this year. He says 20 times, become something more than what you are today. Folks, could I plead with you to take your time tonight? And before you leave this building tonight, in your mind's eye, as we go through this passage, pick out something that you could say, I want to become more like that. And set it as a clear vision for you this 2020. Get 2020 vision about, I want to be a loving husband. I want to be a loving wife. I want to be an obedient worker at work. In other words, I want to please my boss to the point where he's just overwhelmed at my willingness to do anything. In my diligence to do it well. I don't want to be lazy. Notice, if you would, verse 1 of chapter of Titus, verse 12. I mean, chapter 1, verse 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of Rome, said the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. Slow bellies, lazy. Okay? You've got a vision of the people that Titus is working with and a vision of the people that they're supposed to be like in Jesus Christ. Diligent. Truthful. Honest. If you have trouble with the truth from time to time, I mean, you're talking with people, your husband, your wife, and you tell most of the truth, but you sort of shade it a little bit to not be in trouble or not to displease your wife or displease your husband. You sort of shade it a little bit. Set that up as a goal. Say, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to become like Christ. I want to become like Christ in my forgiveness. Do, when things happen, do things stick in your heart? Somebody does something to you in your home, your husband or your wife, they say something, it sticks in your heart and it just lays there, festers. Is that what's happening? You can never have a sweet home if that's the case. Now, if you have your Bible, turn, if you would, with me to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. Won't you see this verse? Maybe this would be your goal. These two things in the image of Christ. Verse 11, Proverbs 19:11. The discretion or the choice, the decision of a man deferreth his anger. I'm going to choose this year to defer my anger, to put it aside, to turn away from it. I'm going to choose this year to no longer be an angry person. I'm going to become like the image of Christ. Not less angry. I'm going to choose to turn away from anger like Christ. Jesus Christ is not interested in us growing incrementally a little bit less angry today, a little bit less angry tomorrow. He's interested in us changing to be like Him now. So you and I can't just say, well, I'm going to lie a little bit less on Monday and a little bit less on Tuesday and a little bit less on Thursday. And no, he wants you to say, look, the image of Christ is absolute truth. Lord, today change me into his truth so that I can always tell the truth. And Lord, when I make a mistake, help me to immediately say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to be this way anymore. I want to become like you. Folks, that's what the Christian life is about. It's the challenge of having the clear vision of the image of Christ and saying, I've got to be like that in every area of my life. And so you have a reason to live. No Christian's going to commit suicide that has that vision in his life. No Christian's going to be lazy because he's got that vision in his life. He's always got something to do and to work on to become more and more like Christ. And he's got victory in his heart because God will help you. You're not alone in this. The Lord Jesus is not saying, I want you to be in my image and you're on your own. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be there to strengthen you, to help you along. And let's do it together. The Holy Spirit says, I'll guide you into all truth. The question is, do we have the willpower to say, I want to be in his image? And the vision to say, I want to get rid of anger this year. Now notice, here's another one. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. How good are we at that? Someone crosses the line with us. They say something at work, hurts our feelings, true or not true. Mate says something, and it crosses the line with us, and bothers us. How good are we to say it is my glory to pass over that transgression, to just let it not bother me, to walk right on? Do you know how pleasant a home can be if a husband and wife are doing their best to forgive each other without even being asked? They're just sending away this offense and that offense. It doesn't mean you wouldn't sit down and talk about it from time to time if something really bothers you, but you can't talk about every little thing. And there are many people that are so picky about everything. I mean, they complain about what the wife spent last week at Walmart or what the husband ate for lunch at work. I mean, they complain about the smallest of things. And it gets to the point where everything sticks in the heart and they can never be happy with each other. It's to your glory to say, I'm not going to be offended at anything. And that's the image of Christ. He's hanging on the cross. After having been brutally murdered, literally, and just before he dies, he says, Father, forgive them. Not just that. He says, they don't know what they're doing. Who would do that? It was his glory to send it away. It's not going to stick in my heart what they did to me. Do you realize, take your Bible now, turn back to Titus if you would. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates. Now, that doesn't mean whenever Christians just lay down and are killed in mass. It doesn't mean that. But it's that we're living in America, we're to obey the police officer. We're to obey the courts. We're to obey the Congress people whenever they make a rule or law. You know, that doesn't mean we don't try to change it. We do. But the attitude and mindset represents Christ. Notice, if you would, in verse number three, he says, the last part, he says, to be ready, to be opportunistic is that word, to every good work. So that means you and I have to have a clear vision of the opportunities that come our way. An opportunity to pray for somebody. An opportunity to say, I know there are people in our church that they have needs that come up and it gets brought up as a prayer request. It's your opportunity to lift them up before the Lord. Or you can just say, well, I'm busy and you let it pass over. Do you take advantage of the opportunities? Do you think Christ, when he's asked about somebody's tests tomorrow or somebody's travel, do you think he's so busy that he says, I don't think about that?
Christ is opportunistic to watch out for you and I. He's always watching for us. The eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He said, when we stand up or sit down, He's watching us. You know why? Because He's in love with us. He just wants to see everything about us. He's not watching us to do evil. He's watching us to be a blessing to us. He's opportunistic. Tonight, are you opportunistic to do right, to do good? Do you seize upon the opportunity to do a good work? You hear somebody's sick. Have you ever thought, well, maybe I could call them up and just bring them a supper? Or, you know, there's an elderly lady. Maybe I could, it's got snow and ice. Maybe I could go by and see if I could clear a driveway. I mean, are we opportunistic about simple things to be a blessing to people? Well, Pastor, I just be busy all the time that way. Yeah, and you'd have rewards laid up in heaven so big you'd have to have a tractor trailer when you get there. Do you realize that all that you're doing in this life, if it's not for Christ, it's not going with you? So be opportunistic to do good. Notice, if you would, verse 2. To speak evil of no man. If we could just learn that and let that be our goal for the year. Lord, I want to talk good about people. Does anybody remember the woman taken in adultery? She's taken in adultery in the very act. And the Jewish leaders and the rabbis and all the scribes, they look at her and said, now what do you say about that? What does the law say about that? And Jesus simply knelt down and He began to write. He says, let the first of you that's without sin cast a stone. The first one. It was kind of like, well, yeah, we're sinners, but not like her. And then the Bible says He's writing down the dirt with His finger. Now, we don't know what He wrote, but the Bible says they did lead from the eldest to the youngest in order. You know what that tells me? Maybe He wrote a name down of that eldest priest and some woman He had had an affair with, and He wrote the name down, and the priest said, He knows. Hey, guys, I just remembered something I got to go do. And he leaves. And he goes down the list, and everybody's watching what he's writing. And it's one at a time. And finally, they're all gone. And he looks at her and says, look, I don't go and sin no more. He didn't give her carte blanche and say, keep doing what you're doing. He said, you stop what you're doing and go and live right. Now, are we becoming more like Christ? Do you understand? And he says, look, Jesus could have lambasted her because she deserved it. What about the woman at the well? He goes to talk to her. He loves her to the point of leading her to Christ. Jesus Christ was opportunistic as a soul winner. He was opportunistic as someone to care about people. He did not run people down. Notice, if you would, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, to not be the one that's always trying to settle things by muscling people and pushing people around. You'll notice, but here's the word, gentle. It's a mildness of spirit. It's a peaceableness. Could that be your goal this year? To be peaceable? To be in the image of Christ? To be gentle? Notice, if you would, showing all meekness unto all men. Oh, that's such a challenge. To be meek, it's humble. It is not having an edge about you. It's not getting up in the morning and having an edge. That's not meekness and gentleness. Could that be your goal for this year? Could that be your 2020 vision of one of the facets of Jesus Christ? You know, I've always loved diamonds because of the way they're cut. They're just, when they're cut right, they're just beautiful. And you put light on them and it goes everywhere. They just gleam. And I think Christians are supposed to be like that. And when you put the light on us, we send the light in all kinds of directions. But if you have anger and you have an edge about you and you don't forgive things and you harbor things and you don't send away transgressions, all of a sudden the light's going to shine on you and it's going to be, there's something wrong with that diamond. It's dull. It doesn't reflect the light. That's when you said, let your good works, before men, that they may see you, let the Lord shine on you, that your good works can shine about the Lord. And so all of us in this room, you're like a diamond for Christ. And many of us are rough diamonds. Let this be the year that you get honed off. It's not fun. It's hard work. How many of you have tried to lose weight over your lifetime? Don't raise your hand. Probably all of us. You know, but some of the hardest things you ever have to do is to lose weight. Why? Because you have to discipline yourself to A, eat the right kind of foods. B, stay away from the wrong kind of foods. C, not eat as much as you want. D, eat no Bluebell ice cream. You can't lose weight. I mean, you know, there are certain things that we love. You have to give them up. You know, I told you, and I lost my weight, got down my desired weight, got off my blood pressure medicine. I'm so excited. But you know, that ain't the end of it. Do you know that? I figured that out. I mean, a couple mornings after I got down to my weight, I went and checked on the scales. I said, where did those 2 pounds come from? And I was just ready to go into my office and chow down on that big Kit Kat that I've gotten. I got 2 of them in there. They're still in there. And they greet me when I go in there. And then somebody this week says, hey, Pastor, did you know that you've got your Bluebell ice cream down in the freezer? I said, yeah, I know. I hadn't had 2 bites out of it. You know why? Because you eat 2 bites and you gain 2 pounds. It's not funny, folks. It's hard work. So if you've got a diamond and you're trying to hone it to be like Christ, it's hard work. But you have to have some vision, or you're going to be like the world. And my question is, we're independent Baptist people. We're independent because we want to do just what the Lord wants us to do and nothing more, nothing less. We want to serve the Lord in the best way we feel that we can as a church family. And so we don't want to have the attitude, nobody's telling us what to do, except we want to have the attitude, Lord, we just want to please you. So not only that, but we want to, as a church family, to be all kinds of little diamonds all over the place. Our marriages are to be diamonds that people at work see and say, wow. You really act like you love your husband. I do. Well, you're the only one I know of that does. Or a wife. It's like marriage now is a sentence, not a joy. And so that's the reason why people say, we're not going to get married. Let's live together and see if it works. Did you know 50% now, that's what they do? Don't get married first. You see, we are not Christians at all. We are not in the image of Christ. So we're slipping back and becoming more and more like the world. Because either you've got a 20/20 vision of Christ, or you've got a blurred vision of what the world's like. And if you do nothing, you're going to drift toward that. Because everybody in this room, we have what's called the flesh. And the flesh is stronger than the spirit unless you choose to be transformed. Unless I choose to lose the things in my life that stop the reflection of Christ. And that's hard work. But folks, look. You know, for the rest of your life, you may have a struggle with what you eat or weight. But one of these days, we're going to get to heaven. And you're going to be able to eat Bluebell ice cream out your ears. That's not going to bother you at all. if that's in heaven. Probably is. The southern part, it probably is. But can I tell you this? Look. You've only got 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years to prove to Christ that you love Him. Why are you wasting it? Why are we wasting it on visions in this life? Let's be changed, metamorphosized into the image of Christ. Renewed into the image of Christ. If you'll notice, I want you to take just a quick second and give you this verse. Notice, if you would, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Now, here's really, I guess, one of the best descriptions in Scripture to become something different. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, you've been born again, you have a new life, then seek those things which are above. Seek the image of Christ. And notice, the reason I know that, look down at verse 10. And have put on the new man, you become the Holy Spirit living in your heart, which is renewed. You've been, and that word renewed, anakaino, is to renovate. It's to completely change. It's which is renewed in the knowledge, the understanding, or the vision after the image of Him that created Him. So there's the standard. If you've been saved, seek the things from heaven. Seek the image of Christ and say, Lord, I want you to change me, renovate me. Now, to renovate anything, you got to rip stuff out and you got to put new stuff in. So notice, if you would, in verse number 5 of chapter 3. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And you know what mortify is? Kill it. A mortician. He takes works with dead bodies. So it says, mortify your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness. Notice in verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now watch this. Verse 8. But now ye also, ye Christians, also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, wanting to pay somebody back. And the list goes on. And then notice verse 10. And have put on the new man. And that is after the image of Christ. So he said, you've got to renovate your life. Get rid of all these things. Learn to pass over transgressions. Learn to forgive. Learn to say, I'm not going to let one thing stick this year. I'm going to forgive it for Christ's sake. Notice with me, if you would, verse 13 of chapter 3. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you. There's the image. Like Christ forgave you for the asking, you forgive those that argue and quarrel and have hurt your feelings. Could I challenge you tonight? Let's become something in the image of Christ. Let's get a clear vision. Now, turn your Bible back to Titus and we'll close. Notice this. We'll come back to chapter 3 next week, but notice, if you would, Titus chapter 3, in verse number 1, he says to be. In verse number 1, he says to be. Verse number 2, he says to be. And verse number 3 says, for we ourselves also were sometimes. In the past, we were like this. So he gives us a list of things we should and should not do. But then you'll notice a total change in verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Then Jesus came. And now things are different. He didn't come by our good deeds, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. But then you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou art firm constantly. Titus, keep reminding them. Keep letting them know that they which have believed in God, all the Christians, keep reminding them that they which have believed in God might, here it is, become careful to maintain good works. They would be people looking for good works. You know, in chapter 1 and 2, it says to be opportunistic for good works. But he says, now I want you to just become that in your nature. I want you to take on the very nature of Christ. You see, first off, we get rid of things and we start trying to change things. We start trying to forgive. And then we get hung up a little bit and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And we grow through all that to where finally we begin to live as a Christian. The older we get, the more holy and godly we should be. But it's not that way. You tell me this. When you go to an old folks home and there's Christians in there, are they sweet and nice? Or are they grumpy and a little crusty? You know what? A lot of times the older we get, the more grumpy and crusty we get. That's not what Jesus said to do. That we become in His image. All of us need to set some dreams tonight. You need to look at your life and say, what do I need to change? How many of you have gone through your house? How many of you lived in your house for 10 years or more? Would you raise your hand? Let me see it. 10 years or more. Keep it up. How many of you have walked through your house in the last year or so and said, you know, we might ought to repaint this room. We might ought to, I think maybe we ought to redo the bathroom. It'd be nice if you just had the thought of maybe we ought to redo the tile. You remember whenever mauve tile was in, or you remember whenever Harvest Gold was in, or you remember you had Avocado Green. How many of you remember that? You remember those things? Okay. If you've got one of those houses, you're going to look at it and say, you know, I probably ought to renovate this. Did you know Christians, when we get saved, are avocado green? You can stay that way, but not too many people are going to admire you. They're not going to look at you and see Christ. So you know what we have to do? Somebody has got to make the decision. I think I'd like to be like that. And then you have to select something to be like. When we were building this last house before Susan went to heaven. Now, I love wood and cabinetry. I like real wood. You know, the house that we just built before that had knotty alder cabinets. Now, I love that. Well, it's beautiful. It's got just some texture to it. Got a few knots in it. And stained a real pretty color. I just love that. Did you know what the lady did that bought the house? Painted them white. After all the work I did to get them stained and look beautiful, make all the knots shine. I mean, it was beautiful. She just went, shoo. You know, I'm thinking, where did she get the picture of that? So now when I go through my house, the old house, I walk through, they ask me to do something, I walk through the house. It's like I went into a hospital. The walls are white, the columns are white, the cabinets are white. I mean, it's like, why don't you just go to rest in the hospital and take that to be your image if that's what you want? But, you know, my wife, I remember Mandy's picking out colors and Susan's in heaven. I said, I don't know what colors. I don't want it. Susan always did that. I don't fool with that. So there she's picking out colors and the kitchen upstairs. It's just beautiful. I love what she picked out. And I love the floor pick color she picked out. And then the cabinets came. And Susan went and picked out all her stuff. But then she went to heaven. And so all the cabinets came, and the upstairs were, man, they were beautiful. And downstairs came in, and they were French country. I said, where did that come from? No, those aren't the right cabinets. He said, that's what your wife ordered. I said, French country. And then I go to a magazine. Oh, there's French country. There's French country. Everybody's going French country. I said, wow, she is a little bit, I guess, on point. Maybe I'm a little out of point, you know. But I still like wood. I mean, I like wood. And so I look at it, and then I go through, and I get ready to do my bedroom, and I said, now I got to go pick out the comforter. I just think I'll just buy me a sleeping bag and throw it over it. I guess that's what I'll do. I go, I'm taking up boxes, and sure enough, open up box, and it's got this beautiful cream-colored comforter. I said, who? And then I remember, she went and got that. And so I put it on the bed, and then, you know, she affected me. I began to look around. I began to see the windows. They're naked, the windows are. Now, I always like naked windows. They're cheaper. I like naked windows. But I said, I'll bet you if she's got that comforter, and I go digging around, sure enough, there it is, a valance. And did you know there were 26 windows in the basement? Of course, there's not that many. But I said, I wonder how much she got. And I pulled out valance number 1, 2, 3, every lousy window. She had bought something to go over it to match that comforter. And it's French country. And now I get to live there. And she's in heaven with gold and silver, and I'm stuck with French country. I still got a little of a bitter spirit. But what I'm trying to say, it's beautiful. Now I walk into it, I've gotten used to it, and I'm not going to renovate it. That's flat for sure. I'm going to leave it right like that, enjoy it, leave it there. And I look at it and I say, okay, it looks really nice. What I'm trying to say is that, what is your vision? We don't just get to say, well, I want to be like this. We have to look at the Savior through the Word of God and say, that's going to be my pattern, the image of Christ. So as hard as it is, I got to get gentleness. I've got to get rid of the edge in my life. I can no longer get up on the wrong side of the bed. I have to be agreeable, meek. Folks, if we just said, this is the year that I want to change 5 things into the image of Christ, you'll make an eternal difference. Tonight, pick one and add it to your life. Pick something and say, Lord, I want to be like that. That was you. I want that to be me. And don't give up until it becomes natural for you. Change your fleshly nature to a spiritual nature. You can do it because the Holy Spirit will sit right there and say, let me help you. And He'll do this. He'll do exactly that word in Titus chapter 3, verse 1. He'll put into your mind, Dave, I wouldn't say it like that. Dave, I wouldn't think that about that person. He will help change you into His image. Let's bow our heads for the prayer tonight. Oh, to be like thee. I have a word of prayer if you need to come tonight. Could I challenge you? Take one of the 20 B's of Titus chapter 1, 2, and 3 and say, I want to become like that. I want to become gentle. I want to become forgiving. I want to become opportunistic for good works. Folks, could I plead with you tonight to come to this altar and say, Lord, change me. Father, would you speak to our hearts tonight? In your precious name we pray. Amen.